Thank you once again for joining me, Pastor Gino Cassieri, for the Pastor's Study, as we continue our journey through Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, we'll be looking at verses 97 through 104. And our study is entitled, The School of the Scriptures. The School of the Scriptures. So let's get right down to business, beginning in Psalm 119, verse 97 down through 104. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from evil, from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is the first stanza in which the psalmist makes no petition or prayer. The emphasis of this stanza is how the Bible teaches us. Here is a picture of true Bible scholarship. It is one thing to say, this is a Bible. It's another thing to say, from the depth of my heart, this is my Bible. I'm having a relationship with the Bible. It is my library. 66 books in one volume. Science, history, law, ethics, drama, poetry, romance, adventure, biographies, social studies, prophecy. It's my counselor when I'm discouraged. It's my companion when I'm deserted. It's my comfort when I'm depressed. It's my candle when it's dark. It's my compass when I doubt. It's my consultant when I decide. It's my censor when I disobey. Now, as we begin our study, we're going to see a true Bible scholar will have the following three attributes. So our study is broken down into three main parts. And they are, number one, endearment to God's Word. Enlightenment of God's Word, enjoyment from God's Word. So those are the three areas that we're going to look at in our study in Psalm 119, the School of the Scriptures. First of all, as I said, a true Bible scholar will have the following three attributes. Number one, endearment to God's Word. Look at in verse 97. The psalmist says, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You see, he was unashamed of his relationship with the Bible. He makes no apologies for his affection towards the Word of God. In fact, we see in verse 104, he says, Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now, what we want to notice is this stanza starts with something he loves and ends with something he hates. We see it starts out with that he loves the law of God, he loves the Word of God, and that it ends with that he hates every false way. They are essential to each other, amen? A true Bible scholar would rather think or meditate about the Bible than anything else during the day. The word love expresses the love of a glutton for food. Why did he love the Bible? Well, first of all, because he loved the author, God the Holy Spirit. He loved the one who wrote it. If you really love the Lord, you will also love what he says. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in me and lives in you if you're born again. It's a letter. Amen. It's a letter from someone I love. It is God's love letter to me. That's what the Word of God is. It's like a love letter. Amen. That God has written to you and I who are believers. Now, the second reason the psalmist loved the Word of God was because of the Savior the Bible reveals. Amen. Because of the Savior the Bible reveals. The Bible is about Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said to search the Scriptures because they testify of me. Every lamb that was sacrificed that we read about in the Scripture testifies of Christ. Amen. Every prophecy that's given testifies of Christ. No one can know the true God without the Bible. Only the Bible tells you who Jesus Christ is. And the third reason he loved the Bible, or we should love the Bible, is because of what the Bible does for me and does for you, which brings us to our next point, point number two, the enlightenment of God's Word. The enlightenment of God's Word. Now let's look at verses 98 through 102 and then verse 104 to bring out our point here on the enlightenment of God's Word. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy way, to keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. And then verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. See, the professional educators, they dread Scriptures like we just read in verses 98 to 100. Amen. Again, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. And the reason the psalmist said he had more understanding than all his teachers is because, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The word of God is his meditation. And then in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. You see, the Bible contains knowledge and wisdom that cannot be found anywhere else. What the Bible teaches is always 100 times better than anything some humanistic educator has to offer, amen. Stack all the volumes authored by man in one pile, and one King James Bible transcends them all, amen. Now, our second point here, we're talking about is the enlightenment of God's Word. First of all, it makes me wiser than mine enemies. Amen. We're not talking about information or intellectual knowledge of facts. No, wisdom, the Word of God tells us, is the fear of the Lord and departure from evil. You have enemies, my friend, if you love the Lord. It is impossible to assert the truth of God without having hostile enemies. The Word of God is opposed to this world. Any enemy of Christ ought to be an enemy of yours. If you are saved, you claim to be saved, you are one with Christ. Let me give you an illustration. David was wiser than King Saul, who sought to murder him. Let's look in 1 Samuel together. We'll come back to Psalm 119 later on. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, we want to show you how David was wiser than King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, and one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. But notice David's wisdom here. David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law? He's saying it's not a light thing. It's no trivial matter, you know. It's a big deal. Seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed, you know, why should I, David, he's saying, be entitled to marry the king's daughter? I'm poor. I'm lightly esteemed. I have no honor or authority. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. That's why usually a dowry was to be supplied, but here Saul is saying, you know, in other words, if you want to really marry my daughter, then you need to bring me the foreskin of 100 Philistines. Verse 26, and when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. So here he says, I have to, you know, if I want to be the king's son-in-law, it's not just going to be given to me, his daughter on a silver platter. I have to work for it. I have to earn his respect. I have to go out and be a man of war and battle. It says in verse 27, wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines. Notice, 200. All he had to do was bring 100. But he slew 200 men, and David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. See, Saul was worried. He saw that David was a man of wisdom, godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. He was afraid of him. He saw that the Lord was with him. Now notice what it says here in verse 30. Then the princesses of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set about. Let's look at another illustration as we talk about the wisdom that we get from God's Word. A band of smugglers used an ass-drawn caravan to cross the border into Israel. The police were able to capture some of the asses, but the smugglers got away. One policeman, who was a Bible believer, remembered what it said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. He suggested that they not feed the asses for several days, then turn them loose. Sure enough, after not feeding the animals for a few days, they were released and led the police directly to the smuggler's hideout. Amen. Because one of the policemen, amen, was versed in the scripture. He knew the word of God. He was a Bible believer. And he took the wisdom that he got from the Bible, from the word of God. He was enlightened by God's word, and he was able to use it to catch the smugglers. Also, we see through the enlightenment of God's word, it gives you and I more understanding than all our teachers. That's what it says. Not making it up. We read it in verse 99 of Psalm 119, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Because if you meditate, study the word of God, amen, you'll have, according to the word of God, more understanding than all your teachers. You see, most Sunday school kids from Bible-believing local churches have more understanding than their teachers in the public school system. Now, William Lyon Phelps of Yale University, one of America's most notable college professors, said this: I thoroughly believe in a university education for both men and women, but I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without the Bible. Amen. Interesting. College professor said that. A good illustration of from the word of God that someone having more understanding than all his teachers, amen, was the blind man that Jesus healed in John chapter 9. Amen. Let's turn there, John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, we want to look at verses 26 to 34. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 26. Then say they to him again, what did he to thee? How open he thine eyes? In the context, the religious crowd here is asking the blind man this question, what did he to thee? Well, how did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? He's being a little bit sarcastic here. He says, I've already told you how my eyes were healed. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. See, they're saying, well, you may be this, you know, this man's disciple, the man that healed you, but we're Moses' disciples, so we're better than you. In other words, he said, they go on and say, we know that God spake unto Moses. See, they're trying to laud their knowledge and wisdom over this man. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is, speaking about Jesus. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. See, this man has more wisdom than those that are questioning him right now. They're so well schooled in the Mosaic law. Since the world began, he continues, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? He says, I can't recall anywhere that since the world began, anywhere was written down that a man healed another man's eyes, gave him sight. And if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. The blind man that was healed realized that Jesus, the man who healed him, had to be from God because he couldn't have done it. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Yes, he did teach them. He had more wisdom than them. Amen. Because he was enlightened by the word of God. Amen. Now, we also see another illustration of that is the child Jesus in the temple. Amen. We see that in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, we read, And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Jesus' mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph were traveling back from Jerusalem, didn't realize he was missing, went back to find out where he was, and they found him in the temple, reasoning with the doctors, you know, those well-educated, the so-called religious educated folk of his day. In verse 47, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. No surprise, because he was lightened by the word of God. He had more wisdom than these so-called doctors, these so-called PhDs, amen. Now, we see that, again, it gives more understanding, the Word of God gives me and you more understanding than the ancients. Amen. In Psalm 119, verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. And we saw that illustration with Jesus, that he knew more, amen, than the so-called, those who were many, many years older than him, more educated than him, amen. You see, the Bible gives the only reasonable explanation for the origin of the universe. In fact, the Bible refutes evolution. In fact, many centuries before they realized that the earth was round, the Bible, they had just opened up the Word of God, it tells you right in the Bible, the earth is round. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, let's see. Isaiah chapter 40 with me, in 22. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, notice what it says. It is he that sitteth upon, now here it is, the circle of the earth. So here we see that the earth is a circle, it's round, amen. Also, the Word of God tells us that earth is suspended in space. Many, many years before it was realized by the so-called scientists. Look in the book of Job with me. In chapter 26, Job chapter 26 with me. In Job 26, notice, in Job chapter 26, in verse number 7, Job 26, verse number 7, we read, He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. We also see the Word of God tells us that the life is in the blood. Many years before circulation of the blood was discovered in 1615 by William Harvey, many centuries before, the Word of God told you that. Amen. Leviticus chapter 17, in verse number 11, we read, For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And then we also see the laws of sanitation. Leviticus 15, verse 13. we see, and when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. See, it wasn't until many years after that doctors realized to wash their hands on the running water. What they used to do is use the same basin of water from one patient or what to a next, and they ended up infecting the patient and ended up dying. And then they realized, they discovered they needed to wash their hands under running water. Amen. But again, the laws of sanitation were right there in the Word of God many centuries before. The first law of thermodynamics, energy conservation. Energy cannot be created. The sum total of energy in the universe remains constant. This was established in 1850. But the Bible settled it in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. Listen with me. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Then we have a second law of thermodynamics, which says energy deterioration. In other words, this university may be looked up, looked upon, this university may be looked upon as a wind-up clock that is slowly running down. And this law of thermodynamics was established in 1850. But the Bible settled it many years later in Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26, when it says, they shall perish, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. Last point is, in our study today, is enjoyment from God's Word. Enjoyment from God's Word. Now, let's look. It's Psalm 119, verses 103 and 104. Psalmist wrote, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now, there are three stages of Bible study. There's the cod liver oil stage, amen, when you take it for medicine. There's the shredded wheat stage, dry but nourishing. And then finally, the milk and honey stage. In other words, I enjoy reading it. Do you have a spiritual sweet tooth, my friend? Then eat all the sweets that you want. Ask yourself, what stage are you in? Amen. Of Bible study. The cod liver oil stage, where you take it for medicine, when you take it for medicine, the shredded wheat stage, dry but nourishing, or the milk and honey stage. In other words, you just love, enjoy reading the Word of God. It's satisfying to your spiritual sweet tooth. You can't get enough of it, amen. That's where we should all be at, amen, as Christians. The milk and honey stage. Enjoy studying and reading the Word of God. Amen. And eating all the sweets that you want. As the psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth.